Good morning. Today's daf and Roy Cotton is hey. We're on Dalamud Beis. We are about a third of the way down, not even a quarter of the way down on the Amud. We're starting this morning with the words of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah Omer. Going back to our Mishnah here in the Masechta, we started the first parak of Roy Cotton, and we are discussing waterworks. We're discussing irrigation. And you're allowed to water certain lands on Chol HaMoed, even though in Chol HaMoed there's an Isser Malacha, but there's an Isser Malacha with multiple heterim. So one of the heterim that we've been focusing on now for the list since the beginning of the Masechta has been Hefsed. So if there's going to be a real loss, in this case, to property and produce, so therefore you're allowed to do a malacha. In this case, the malacha is watering. We've been spending the first 3 days of the Masechta talking about the issues of watering land. What exactly is the malacha of watering a land? Is it Zoreya? Is it Choresh? Machlokas. Under what circumstances am I allowed to water on Chol HaMoed? And while we were on that topic, we also discussed the topic of watering on the Shemitah year. Are you allowed to water lands during the Shemitah year is another consideration. So in the Mishnah, we said that you're allowed to water the Beis HaShlachem, not only on Chol HaMoed, but during the Shemitah year as well. So Shemitah has become also a big discussion in our Gemara. And now we go back to our Mishnah, and we're turning to a sheet of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Rav Elazar ben Azariah, back in the Mishnah, if you go back to Beis HaMed Aleph, so he told us that Rav Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Enosin Asama B'tchila B'mod of Shvius. You can't make a canal. Now, so in other words, we're talking about excavating a brand new canal, and you're not allowed to do that, not in Chol HaMoed, and not during the Shemitah year. Okay, good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. And so now we are on the Gemara that's going to be covering exactly this Shita of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So on the Gemara in Dal Amud Beis, so we are 8-9 lines down from the top of the Amud. Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Omer Enosin Asama, Bishlam HaMoed Mishum Dekatarech. So the Gemara says, look, as far as Chol HaMoed is concerned, so it's Tircha. And again, as we already learned, even if we're talking about Hefsed, even if when there is a real loss consideration, nevertheless, when it comes to Tircha, you're not allowed to be involved in any kind of activity, which is considered a Tircha Yisera. Building a brand new canal, obviously, is going to be a significant Tircha, and therefore, you can't do it on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara says, I don't have much to consider. That I totally understand. However, El Shvius, my Taima, but we're in the Shemitah year. Okay, so in the Shemitah year, what's the problem? Meaning Tircha Yisera is not a consideration during the Shemitah year. So in the Shemitah year, you're not allowed to work the land. We're not talking about working the land right now. All we're talking about over here is just simply building a canal, allowing water to go through the canal. Well, what's the issue? What's the consideration? Okay, good. So that's a lovely question. And the Gemara is going to have two opinions on this issue. So Pligiba, Rebbe Zev, Rabbi Abba, Bar Mama. So Machlokas amongst the Amoraim. Chadam Rab Bimnei Shenirka Oder. So one position is that it looks like you're hoeing. So Mimnei Shenirka Oder, Rashi. Letzorach Shviya Sharei Chofer Ka Oder. Look, you're taking a sharp metal instrument, you're applying it to the ground, and it looks like now you're hoeing. Now, hoeing, of course, is working the land, and you're not allowed to work the land during the Shemitah year. So when you are excavating a canal, so at least now you're giving the impression that you're hoeing. So it's almost like a Maris Ayin consideration. And another pshat in terms of why it is that you're not allowed to build the canal is because, consider, what you're doing is, what are you going to do with the earth? In other words, so basically you're digging up earth in order to create a groove for the canal, more than just a groove. It's going to be a pretty deep canal, as we're going to be discussing in just a couple minutes from now. So what are you going to do with all that earth? So what you're going to do on the earth is going to pile it on the side. So what are you going to now have on the side of this brand new canal? So you're going to have this nice soft earth right on the side, and that earth now is perfect for planting. And it's a machshir agafeha lezriah. So the banks of this new canal are going to be perfect for planting. No, so that's the issue. That's the concern. So my bay now, so the Gemara says, okay. So based on these two reasons, the Gemara says, what would be the nafkamina? Gemara says, ika beinahu, dekasu maya basre. Let's say that after we dug it up, now we allow water to go through it. So mandam remnesha machshir agapel lezriah ika. So if the issue is the dirt on the side of the banks, you're still going to have nice new dirt on the side of the banks, which is perfect for Zriah. So then it would still be consideration. But if the issue is that it looks like hoeing, yeah, it looks like hoeing if I were to plant it immediately afterwards. But if after I dug it up, I now have water that I'm directing through this new canal, so now there's no longer a Marsine issue. Meaning people see now what I was doing. You were digging all morning. What were you doing? Now that there's water going through, everyone could see exactly what we were doing. We were digging a canal. We weren't digging in order to improve the earth, in order to improve the ground. Okay, so this would be a nafkamina. The Gemara says, lovely. So we have two different reasons why it is that you're not allowed to dig a canal during the Shemitah year. And now we also learned the Nafka Mina together. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. So the Gemara says, okay, but these two reasons should not be mutually exclusive from one another. Meaning, even if you think it's some sort of Marisain issue. In other words, the other consideration is real. Meaning you're taking the earth and you're putting it on the banks of this new canal, and that earth is nice and soft and tilled. And now, shouldn't that be a concern as well? So the Gemara says, you're right. Ela'ika b'inayu, dekashaka mine v'shad delabrai. So the Gemara says, okay, so we have to be talking about a scenario where I took that newly new earth, that tilled earth, and I threw it away, meaning I didn't put it on the banks. So the man lama'anda minesha machshaga felezri aleika. So if your concern is the new earth that's alongside the banks of the of this canal, well, if I took the earth and I threw it away, so then that's not a concern. Lama'anda minesha nirko derika. So the Gemara says, but if it's a Marisain issue, so then we still have Marisain. Because everyone's watching you taking a metal object and just simply digging into the ground. So it certainly looks like you are working the ground during Shemitah. Gemara's just flipping it around. Even if you're concerned that you're going to have this new earth along the banks, so why isn't he also worried about Marisayan? So, Mimnation Nirka Oder. So, Oder Nami, Kikashakal Beduchte. So the Gemara says, well, no, because if in fact you were hoeing, so what do you do with the earth? You leave it right over there. By virtue of the fact that you're taking the earth and you're moving it to another location, so that it removes the Maris Ayin issue. Okay, so what the Gemara has just done is a little bit of back and forth. Rav Elazar ben Azariah in our Mishnah says that you're not allowed to dig a new canal during the Shemitah year. He also says you're not allowed to do it during Chol HaMoed, but there's nothing to talk about. Meaning in Chol HaMoed, we understand it's Tircha Yisera, and that you're not allowed to do. But as it relates to Shviya Shemitah, what's the concern? What's the issue? So the Gemara just forwarded two issues to consider, and the Gemara points out there may be nafkaminas based on these two issues. Ameimar masnilam in Mishnah Nirka Oder. So Ameimar learned that the reason why you're not allowed to dig a canal during the Shemitah year is because Marisayin Shinirka Oder. Vekashale the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, the Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And now with that stated, so now what seems to be an internal stira. Within Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Miyamar Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Kol Shinira Ka'odasar, Uriminu, Ose, Adam is Vilo, Otsar. So the Gemara says, on that we'll have the following stira. And that is that a person is allowed to make a fertilizer warehouse. Rabbi Meir, Oser, Ashi, Amik, Shosha Tvachim, Ashi, Agbiya, Gimel Tvachim. So, and according to Shita's Rabbi Meir, it would be Oser until it is 3 Tvachim deep or 3 Tvachim high. Hayo, Dover, Muat, Mosif, Allah, Vaholech. If you already have a little bit of fertilizer, so you can add on top of the fertilizer. And Rav Elazar ben Azariah, Oser Achi Amishosho Achi Agbir Shosho, Achi Tain Alasela. Rav Elazar ben Azariah is of the position that you cannot make a fertilizer warehouse until it's 3 Tvachim deep or 3 Tvachim high, or you're putting it directly on top of stone. So, comes out now that according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so the fertilizer warehouse, now obviously we're talking about the fertilizer warehouse during the Shemitah year. So in other words, the consideration over here is that if we're just laying fertilizer down on the ground, even if my goal is not to fertilize the ground, but it looks like you're fertilizing the ground. Fertilizing the ground is one of the Isurim of Shviyas. In fact, we discussed that already earlier in our very own Masechta. So over here, unless it's clear that you're using it, that you're putting the fertilizer there just for storage and not for land improvement, so only under those circumstances one is allowed to do that. So, according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, if it's 3 Tvachim deep, that's storage. If it's 3 Tvachim high, that's storage. If it's put on top of a stone, that too is going to be storage, but only under those circumstances. So,
he was digging the 3 Tvachim.
Right, Ashi Tenasela. Right. So what comes out now over here is that we are learning together according to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So he is not concerned about Marisayan. Meaning previously we were describing Rav Elazar ben Azariah and his prohibition, our explanation of his prohibition that you're not allowed to build a new canal during Shemitah. The issue is Marisayan, meaning it looks like you're hoeing. And meanwhile over here, when it comes to dropping the fertilizer down, not for land improvement, but just for storage, he's not worried about Marisayan. So why in one place is he worried about Maariv Zayin, another place is not worried about Maariv Zayin? That's the stira within Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, but it's only a stira if you're assuming that the issue of building a canal is an issue of Maariv Zayin. So Rebbe Zer, Rebbe Abba bar Mama, Charamar Kigon Shemamik, so Shehemik. So the Gemara gives one of two possible answers to this question. One answer is that you are Mamik, meaning Rashi says Kigon Shehemik Koden Lachin. In other words, before putting the fertilizer down, so he dug a big ditch. Klummer. Hadamer Velazar Achiyamik Lo Amar Achiyamik Bishvias El Sheya Amuk Kodem Shvias. In other words, there already was a pre-existing ditch over there, and you're dropping the fertilizer into the ditch. Under those circumstances, everybody can look, everybody can see, you're not putting it down to improve the land, you're putting it down over there simply for the purposes of storage. That's one possibility. Another possibility, says the Gemara, is V'charamar Zivla Mochiach Alav. So, when the fertilizer is piled up in a pile, so everybody will understand that you're not doing it to improve the land, but it's just there for storage. On the other hand, when people just watch you hoeing in the ground, not understanding that what you're trying to do is make a new canal, so again, there's an issue over there, Maariv Zayin. Basically, it's contextual. It's just a question of when people seeing you do the action, so what is the normal conclusion that they would arrive at? So with a hoe in hand and you're digging in the ground, it must be that he's improving the land. So there's an issue of Maariv Zayin. When you're taking fertilizer and making a pile out of it, it's a pile. Meaning, if he were fertilizing, he'd be spreading it out over the ground. Okay, Adkan.
When you drink coconut milk.
Right. Correct. And the simon next to it in order to avoid the issue of Maariv Zayin. Right. Okay, good. All right, umisaknes amakalkalos b'moed. Okay, now we go back to Chol HaMoed and issues of Chol HaMoed. So, back to the Mishnah. So the Mishnah presented the Shita of the Chachamim, which the Gemara here does not discuss, but the Chachamim argue in Rav Elazar ben Azariah. The Chachamim say that you're allowed to make a canal during the Shemitah year. During Chol HaMoed, you're not allowed to, because again, during Chol HaMoed, the issue now becomes, it's Tircha Yisera, so you're not allowed to do so in Chol HaMoed, but during the Shemitah year, you are in fact allowed to dig a canal during the Shemitah year, according to the Chachamim, and whatever issues or concerns that Rav Elazar ben Azariah has, so the Chachamim just simply were not worried about that concern, either because of the dirt on the embankment, or because it's Nirika Oder, whatever concern we raised for Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the Chachamim just simply dismiss it. On the other hand, we move now to the next point of the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Misaknas hamukukalos b'moed on Chol HaMoed." If let's say you have a canal that's in disrepair, so you're allowed to repair. Good. That's what we learned in the Mishnah. "Misaknas hamukukalos b'moed," and the Gemara discusses. We're on Dalamud Beis, and we're about 8-9 lines down from the bottom of the Amud. So my mukukalos. So the Gemara now wants to know, what does that mean? Meaning, if you're not taking the canal anew, the canal is already there, but it got stuffed up. And so on Chol HaMoed, what you're allowed to do is unstuff it. So my mukukalos. I'm Rabbi Abishim Haisa Amuka Tefach Ma'amida Ashisha Tvachim. So the Gemara over here gives a really specific set of dimensions in terms of what it was, where it is now, and what you're allowed to do. So where it was. So it was six Tvachim deep. Well, at one point in time, it was six tefachim deep, and now it got mud and dirt got into it, and now it's only one tefach deep, but it's still now one tefach deep. So what you're allowed to do is you're allowed to bring it back to its normal six tefach depth. In other words, so even though, it's so funny, what you're doing now is you're taking out a shovel, and you're digging your canal, but you're not digging it anew. What you're doing is you're just simply fixing it, mending it, and so what you're allowed to do is go from where it's currently at one tefach, and you're allowed to go down now to the sixth tefach depth mark. Now, Pshita, the Gemara says, okay, so now that we know what you're allowed to do in terms of repairs, we're given very clear codes in terms of what you're allowed to do for repairs. So the Gemara says, Pshita chasi tefach hashosh tefachim, kiven de lo avar maya lo klumhu. So the Gemara says, look, let's say it's right now the canal is only a half tefach deep currently, and I want to dig a three tefachim. So the Gemara says, no, that you're not allowed to do. And the reason why you're not allowed to do it, says Rashi, is because even if I were to now dig three tefachim, so the water that goes through three tefachim is just simply not, it's not functional. Now again, if I understood canals a lot better, I do a lot better job explaining what's going on over here. But the Gemara is clearly operating with an assumption that a functional canal is only where it's six tefachim deep. Okay, so if all you're going to get is three tefachim, so it's not a functional canal, and you're not allowed to do that on Chol HaMoed. Now, tvachaim al shnei masar de katar tirch yaser alo. So the Gemara says, now, if, let's say, it's two tvachim deep as is, and now you want to dig to the 12 tefach mark, so that you're not allowed to do, the Gemara says, that's also a davar pashut. It's obvious. Now, a 12 tefach deep canal, fantastic. Very functional. Why can't I do it? Because it's Chol HaMoed. And what are you not allowed to do on Chol HaMoed? Tircha Yisera. So this would constitute Tircha Yisera. And by the way, I'm sure you figured out, by the way, the numbers that the Gemara chose over here are obviously working with a ratio. Meaning we know that you're allowed to go from 1 to 6. So the Gemara says, what about a half to a 3? What about 2 to 12? Okay, so obviously we're operating with the same ratio. And again, half to 3 you can, because even 3 is not functional. 2 to 12 you can't, even though it's functional, but that's Tircha Yisera. Gemara says, good. So those parts I get. Tvachaim al shiva mahu. So now the Gemara asks this super specific question. What about to go from 2 to 7? So in other words, it's currently 2 and I want to now make it 7 tvachim deep. Am I allowed to do that? So hacha chamisha kamamik, vahacha chamisha kamamik. From going 1 to 6, so I'm dropping 5 tvachim down. Going from 2 to 7, I'm dropping 5 tvachim down. Sounds reasonable. Odilma kevendika tefach yisera, ika tircha tvei. On the other hand, I'm going to have to bend lower. In other words, to go now and 7 tefachim deep, so that is one more tefach down that I have to bend over. Bending over one more tefach down, that might be a violation of Tircha Yisera. Like I said in the beginning of the Masechta, one of the challenges is to give definition to what is considered Tircha Yisera. Meaning on Chol HaMoed, there are activities that you're allowed to do, but even if there's hefzed, once you are in this category of Tircha Yisera, you can't do it. So over here, the Gemara now wants to know. So is bending over 6 tefachim, that's not Tircha Yisera. Bending down, so now you're 7 tefachim into the ground, that may be considered Tircha Yisera, teku. The Gemara leaves the question unresolved, because now, we don't know. I mean, the Gemara doesn't know whether or not bending down, that extra tefach, would in fact represent Tircha Yisera.
Okay, 6 is functional, correct?
That's the Gemara's assumption.
So for sure 7 is functional. Well, of course you
correct, can. Correct, it's functional. The issue is not whether it's functional. Now the issue becomes, it's just too laborious. It's Tircha Yisera. To bend down now to get the 7 tefach depth, that's going to require you to bend down an extra tefach. That may be too much tircha, and for that the chachamim did not allow that in Chol HaMoed. Abaye shar levnei bar hamdach l'shechufei nara. Okay, and a number of heterim that were made by the Amoraim, we're going to go with 3 successive heterim. Number 1 is Abaye, so he allowed the members of this particular community l'shechufei. Okay, that's not helpful. Rashi writes l'shechufei nara. Okay, declutter. There are a bunch of branches there in the canal, and to remove the branches on Chol HaMoed, he said that you're allowed to do. Rav Yirmiyah Shar Lehu Levnei Sachusa Lemichrei Nahara Tamima. So there was a river. It was all stuffed up, and so what he allowed to do is that he allowed them to unstuff it, to dredge it out. Right? Rashi writes over here Lifnos Mekor Hamayan Shenistam. Some sort of wellspring is feeding this water source, and it got stuffed up, and he allowed it to open up the opening. Rav Ashi Sharulul of Neim Asa Mechasi Ak Duche Nahar Kornitz, or Bornitz, whatever the case is. So anyway, so it was filled with thorns, and what he allowed to do? I'm sorry, Bornitz is the name of the river. Sorry. There was a bunch of. Also, schmutz, that's a technical term, it's a scientific term. There was a bunch of schmutz over there in the canal, and he allowed it to unclog. Removing the schmutz is, in fact, it's an involved labor. The Gemara says, yeah, but it's also a public need. And we learned in the Mishnah, and in fact, we're going to be discussing it right now, that when it comes to a public need, that you're allowed to do on Chol HaMoed. Speaking of public needs. Okay, so now as we turn to the top of today's daf hey, so now we're going to be discussing the next line of the Mishnah. The Mishnah, after telling us that you're allowed to make a repair to a canal, and we just went over exactly what those parameters are of repairing a canal, so the Gemara now turns its attention to public goods. Right, go back to the Mishnah. So, Misaknin es kokule amayim shebrishos harabim. So if it's kokul amayim, so if it is a water source that went down, that needs tending to, so you're allowed to fix it in a rishus harabim. Rishus harabim doesn't just simply mean where it's physically located. Rishus HaRabim means that the public needs it, and therefore you're allowed to fix it. It's what's called Tzarchei Rabim. So now we move on in the mission to the next category of Heter, meaning one category of Heter that we learned about is what's called Hefsed. But Hefsed is not going to mitigate against Tircha Yisera. Another category that we're learning together is what's called, Shekoach. Another category that we learn together, where we're learning together right now in the Mishnah, Tzarchei Rabim. Okay, good. So now within the category of Tzarchei Rabim, so the Gemara is going to be discussing Chatita in Chafira Lo. So the question now becomes as follows. Tzarchei Rabim means that once it's public needs, so you're allowed to do it, you're allowed to make repairs on Chol HaMoed. Is there going to be a limit to the amount of repairs that you can make during Chol HaMoed? That's the question. So in the Mishnah, it just simply says Misapnin, which means that you're allowed to remedy, you're allowed to fix. But specifically, to what degree can you do it? So the Gemara now is going to be discussing. Hey, Amud Aleph, top of the Amud. Chatita in Chafira Lo. So what you could do is as follows. You could do Chatita, but you can't do Chafira. Now Chatita just simply means it got stuffed up. And so what you're going to do is you're going to unstuff it. You're just simply dredging it out. But you're not digging. And the Gemara starts off with a discussion of, that's it. But you can't dig. So I'm Rav Yaakov, I'm Rav Yochanan, Lo Shanu, Lo Shein, Rabin Tzrich Lehem, Rabin Tzrich Lehem, Afilu Chafira Mutter. So the Gemara says, B'shem Rabbi Yochanan, that if we're talking about Tzarchei Rabin, if we're talking about where it's public needs, and the public needs it, so under those circumstances, you can actually dig it out. So in other words, Tzarchei Rabim, there is not going to be a limitation, and one can even do the chafir, one can even dig. The Gemara says, is that correct? Are you right about that? V'atanya. So the Gemara is quoting a brisa. So if it's chatit, if it's just simply dredging it out, that you're allowed to do. But you can't dig. And here in the brisa, it sounds pretty clear that digging is forbidden under all circumstances, whether it's privately owned or even if it's publicly needed, you can't dig. That's the simple pshat of the Braisa. What the Gemara is going to be doing over the next lines of the Gemara is it's going to basically walk away from the simple pshat of the Braisa. So, my love, Visharabim Tzrichim Lahem. So the Gemara presumes, and again, it's a simple reading of the Braisa, is that you're not allowed to dig even if the public needs it. So the Gemara says, Lo Vishayin Rabim Tzrichim Lahem. So the Gemara says, now we're talking about a case where the public doesn't need it. Which is admittedly, that's a difficult read of the Braisa. Because the Braisa is talking about a public canal, and now the way we're interpreting it is, well, it's a public canal, but the public doesn't need it. You're right. Everyone, it's right. It's a little bit like, you know, like fingernails on a chalkboard. It's like, right, it's a difficult read of the Braisa. But the Gemara is going to try to do that. The Gemara says that's very difficult. So what do you mean? Well, first of all, if that's how you're interpreting it, you got to be consistent. So now we're going to have to say the same thing regarding a private canal. So the Gemara says, we're talking about a private canal, but nobody needs it. Private canal that nobody needs? So chatita mishare? Then are you allowed to do any kind of work to that canal if nobody needs it? So if you have a private water source, it's a pit or something along those lines. So one is allowed to collect water inside of it, but to dredge it up, you can't do that. You can't even fill in the cracks. Vishal rabim chotin osam v'shafin et zidkeim. So, but if it's public, so then you're allowed to dredge it up and you're allowed to fill in the cracks. So ve'elamai v'shiachet zarech lehem. So the Gemara says, okay. So the only allowance to go ahead and dredge up a private water source, a private well, is only if people need it, if the individual needs it. So the Gemara says, okay, so now we bounce back to the public water source. And the public water source is where the public needs it. So Chafira Miyasa, the Gemara says, but wait one second. I'm telling you that if it's a public water source and the public needs it, you're allowed to dig on Chol HaMoed. I know you're allowed to dig on Chol HaMoed. Gemara says, how do I know that? V'atanya. Because I have a Braisa. The Braisa reads, Bar Shechon Amar Shol Yachin Konsen Mayim L'Sochen V'chot Nasan Avalo Shafin Sitkeim V'lo Chotetin So when it comes to a private water source, so you can allow water to collect in there. You can dredge it out a little bit, but that's it. It's basically in terms of the amount of the allowances that are given to a private water source. Vishal Rabim, however, if it's a public water source, so the Bryce over here is going to say it as clear as possible. Vishal Rabim, Chofer Nosan, Vesad Noso Besid. So you can dig, you can plaster. So basically you can do all activities to a public water source on Chol HaMoed. Right. Clearly, by the way, the Braisa here is talking about Chol HaMoed. So Ela Kashach Kamaisa. So the Gemara says, okay. So we just learned together with unbelievable clarity that when it comes to a public water source, you're allowed to dig up a public water source. If the public needs it, so you're allowed to do that kind of activity. Okay, so the problem becomes the first Braisa that we presented. Meaning Rav Yochanan's totally on board with this. That was the sheet of Rav Yochanan. That if the public needs it, you're allowed to dig. But meanwhile, the first Braisa that we quoted in the top of the Amud, right, six lines down, it says that for a public water source, you can do chatita, but you can't do chafira. You can't dig. So Ela Hakasha Hakamaisa Tritzachi. So what we're going to have to do is that we're going to have to go back to that first Braisa, and we're going to have to give new interpretation, new reading to the first Braisa. The Gemara does exactly that. Chotetim Barushal Yachid, B'shiyachid Serach Lahem. So in terms of dredging it out by a private water source, you're allowed to do that. When the private needs it, when an individual needs it. Goes without saying that a public water source, you for sure can dredge it out. So dafila chafir mutar. Because by a public water source, you can even go further. You can even dig. Now, if the public doesn't need it, in other words, it happens to be, once upon a time, the public used it, but the public no longer used it, still owned by the public, but the public no longer uses this particular water source, so that you're not allowed to dig. And if it's a private water source, so you can't dig. And the truth of the matter is that if the private doesn't even use it, so then you can't even dredge it out. Okay, so basically here's how we read the Braisa. That if it's an individual and he needs it, so the limits of what you could do in terms of upkeep during Chol HaMoed is you could dredge it out. If it's a public and the public needs it, so the limits go further. You can not only dredge it out, but if necessary, you can even dig and you can even do a little more excavation. And Rav Ashi says, go back to the Mishnah and everything we just said is encrypted in the Mishnah. Just read the Mishnah carefully. The Gemara does exactly that. So the Mishnah says, Osin kol tzarche rabim, with the emphasis on the word kol. So kol asui mai, lav lasui chafira. So it must be that the kol over here, you could do any kind of reparations, any kind of repair. So that is talking about, seemingly would talk about even digging. That would be a pshat in the Mishnah. Gemara says, yeah, you know what? It is a pshat in the Mishnah, but you don't have to say that. So lo lasui had the tanya. The Gemara says, no. It could be that the kol in the Mishnah is actually referencing something else. Yotzin l'kavis et zedrachim. So the Braisa tells us the following. If there are, if you need to clean the streets, right, likavets, right, remove the thorns from the street. Well, attacking at the rechovet, fix the streets. Ve'esha astar ta'ot. Another type of street, right? Back in the beginning of Shabbos, we talked about this type of public thoroughfare. Ve'lamod esha mikvahos, or let's say we have to measure the mikvahs. V'chol mikvah she'im bar arba'im sa, margil nasocha arba'im sa. Now, if the mikvah does not have 40 sa, so then what you can do is that you can add water in order so that the mikvah has a requisite amount of water to be a functional mikvah. There is an exciting Rashi over here, which I'm not going to delve into, but it's a pretty exciting Rashi. Rashi over here talks about diverting a wellspring into the mikvah. Why does Rashi say that? Take a look at the Bach over here in Oz Dalid, where the Bach gives a pshat within Rashi. Okay, truth of the matter is, it's pretty exciting. I'm going to bypass it. I'm looking at the time, and I'm taking that into consideration. Anyway, now, let's say you didn't do this. Meaning, so there are basic infrastructure maintenance that needs to be done. And it needs to be done even in Chol HaMoed. And if you don't do that, you're going to be liable. Now, who the you is over here, I don't know. In other words, there's some sort of representative body, right? Governing body that's going to be held responsible and liable. Maybe the U is going on every one of us. I'm not sure. But regardless, in other words, it's so important that someone is going to bear the responsibility. And Tamalam Ravaya Lachadamim, the Gemara over here speaks in really clear terms, according to the Pasuk regarding Makkah, that you have to put a fence up on your roof in order to make sure that nobody falls off the top of your roof. Back in the day, the rooftop was, you know, the rooftops were all penthouses, and everybody was always on the top of the roof, and if you don't make a fence, people are going to fall off, and v'hayalach alecha damim. So you're going to have blood on your hands. Now, the you over there is clearly the homeowner. Okay, over here we're talking about public roads. So again, I'm not totally sure who the you is over here. But again, the point, not to lose the point, everyone is going to be bearing responsibility if, in fact, you don't take care of it. So what we're saying now is that as far as our Mishnah is concerned, yeah, I know the Mishnah uses the word kol, but kol over here could just simply mean these types of public works. But in terms of digging out a canal, maybe not that much. Maybe you can't do that. So habe hejikatan lam besaknes adrachim v'serchovis v'esemitvos v'osin kol tzorche rabim. So the Gemara says, yeah, but if that's the right pshat in the Mishnah, you know the Mishnah actually spells all that out. Meaning, why would I have to be you make a ribui from the word kol when the Mishnah is saying all that? So the Gemara says, la lasui amai lav lasui chafir shmamina. So the Gemara says, so we're going to go back to our original suggestion that the word kol over there is actually including digging. If I have a canal and it's a public canal and the public needs it, so I can even go so far as digging. Okay, so from the top of the Amud until this very point in the Gemara, so in summary, you're allowed to dig a canal if it's a public canal and the public needs it. Period. Mitzainin as a kvaros. Okay. Making markers around a grave. Okay, so obviously nowadays, so the way we have it is that we have a cemetery and pretty much the cemetery itself is quartered off. Back in the good old days, so sometimes you just had one or two graves, and the only way that people would know that there's a grave over there is that there were markers. And also back in the day, graves would be right alongside the road, right? Go all the way back to Rachel, who died al haderech, and she was buried alongside the road. So it is not uncommon that people would be buried right alongside the road. And so now, markers needed to be put up over there so that people knew exactly where the graves were. You had a Kohen who was eating Truma, and he walked over a grave. So that's it. He's Tame. His Truma's Tame. I'm supposed to eat this, right? Okay. Later, I'll give it a try. So, Mitzaynes HaKvaros. So, Amar Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, Remez Letzion Kvaron Min HaTorah Minayin. So, where's the Remez? Meaning, it's a mitzvah. Okay, good, it's a mitzvah. Mitzvah Daraisa, Mitzvah Darabanan. So, I'll let others litigate that point. At least, can we find a Remez to that in the Torah? So Tam Olamah, the Gemara says, yeah, I could find a remez. Now here the Gemara uses the word Torah loosely, because we're not going to be quoting a pasuk from Chumash, we're going to be quoting a pasuk from Sefer Yecheskel. Ure'ei etzem adam uvana etzlot tzion. So you're going to see the bone of a man, and you're going to build a tzion. A tzion over here means a marker. So Amalei Ravina Ravashi, Amakam Adelese, Yecheskel man amar. So the Gemara says, okay, great, that's the pasuk in Yecheskel. And prior to that point in time, Yecheskel is coming now, years after Matan Torah. Right? Approximately 1,000 years after Matan Torah, so you have Yecheskel the Navi. Okay, and now what? That's a source Minat Torah? So the Gemara says, L'tamecha, damar v'chista davar zemitoros Moshe Rabbeinu l'amanu, midivri Yecheskel ben Buzi l'amanu. So the Gemara says, don't be so surprised. I'll give you another example. And that is a pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Kol b'nechar rel leva rel basar lo yavol el mikdashi l'shar haseini. So somebody, a Kohen who is a Ben Arel, so that's a Mum. And he's not allowed to do the Avodah. Is that a Pasuk in the Torah? It's not a Pasuk in the Torah. It's a Pasuk in Sefer Yecheskel. Right? Is it a Din D'Oraisa? Absolutely. It's a Din D'Oraisa. So, Mekam Adelaisa Yecheskel Man Amar. So be prior to Yecheskel. So who said this? So the Gemara says, Ela Gemara Gemira La Va'asa Yecheskel Va'asmuchu Akra. So the Gemara says, I'll tell you what. It's a Halacha Moshe Misinai. Meaning it's part of our Mesorah. It's part of Torah Shabbat Peh. We knew this. When I said we knew this, Moshe was given this halacha at Har Sinai, and he passed it down for generations. But it was just simply Torah Shabbat Peh. And what happens is that Yecheskel wrote it down in the Navi. So, Hachanami, Gemara Gemira Lavase Yecheskel Vasmuchu Akra. So, it certainly sounds like from our Gemara, by the way, that the Tzion Anakever is a Din D'Oraisa. Albeit, it's not Kasa B'Torah, but still, it's part of Gemara La. It's part of our tradition, it's part of Torah Shabbat Peh. And then just simply recorded in Sefer Yecheskel years later. So the Gemara says, don't be so surprised. And now what the Gemara is going to be doing from here until the bottom of our Amud is give an assortment of other possible sources that there is a mitzvah to mark off a grave. Rabbi Abba Amar Mehach V'tametame Yikra to Makor Lava Omer Slo Prosh. So this is in reference to a mitzvah. The mitzvah has an obligation to tell others that he's Tame so that people would separate from him. So we're going to take that idea and now move it to a cemetery. So you have to have the cemetery talking. What does that mean, cemetery talking? So in other words, you mark it off, and that will inform people, it will communicate with others, that this is a cemetery. And the Gemara quotes another Amora, who says exactly the same shot. Wait 1 second. Don't I have another pshat that I need from that pasuk? So the Gemara says the halacha is that he's got to tell others that he's a mitzara so that others can daven on his behalf. It's funny. The Gemara is calling this a halacha. Like, it's required. Which aspect is required? That he tell others that others have to daven for him? Maybe both? Okay. Now, I'm not totally clear, but the Gemara is viewing this as a halacha. So once we have one halacha generated from that pasuk, we can't come out with another halacha. So the Gemara says, "In kein lechtav v'tame yikra, my v'tame tame shma min atarte." So the Gemara says, "No, there is room for two drushas. Why? Because there are two words. So two words allows for two drushas." Okay. Abay amar mehachav lefnei iver lo sitei mechshol. The Gemara has another source in terms of how do I know that I have to put a marker around a grave based on the pasuk of lefnei iver? You can't put a stumbling block in front of a blind person. And over here, people are not literally, but almost literally blind to a cemetery being buried if there's no marker over there. So, lifnei iver lo sitei mechshol. Rapapa amar ve amar solo solo panu derech. You have to make a clearing. Allow people to walk by. Rav Chinana amar harimu mechshol miderech ami. Right? Same pasuk in Yeshayahu. Just second half. Rav Yeshua bereid ravidi amar vahodata lahemes aderech. Yechuba. This week's parsha, beginning of parsha, is Yisrael. So, right, why do we need to set up a Sanhedrin? So that way, so people will know which way to go. So we're taking the pasuk and we're borrowing the expression. We want to know which way people should go. Meaning here, literally. So if you mark off the graves, people now know which way to go. Marzusha Amar Vizartimus Bnei Yisrael Mitumosam, right? Caution the Jewish people not to get involved in Tuma. Good. So mark off the cemetery. Ravashi Amar Vishmartimus Mishmarti. Asu mishmaris lemishmarti. The general injunction on Chazal, that what they have to do is they have to make safeguards. Over here, literally, make a guard. Make a rail around the cemetery so that people will know this is a cemetery. Ravina Amar, Visam Derech, Erena B'yesh Elokim, Pasuk in Tehillim. So, Visam Derech, right? Basically, same idea. Make a way. I'm Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, Kol Hasham Or Chosav, Zochavir or Yeshua Social Kadosh Baruch Hu. Shenemar v'sham derech. I'll take Rav v'sham derech. I'll take Rav v'sham derech. Ela v'sham derech. Ena b'yesha Elokim. So the Gemara, as long as the Gemara quoted this pasuk in Tehillim, so the Gemara says a little drasha. B'shem Rav Yeshua ben Levi. The pasuk reads hasam or chosav, which literally means to place your way, meaning to know which way you're going. But another way to interpret the pasuk is not sam, but rather sham from the word shuma, and that is always make an auditing, right? Have a balance sheet, meaning, and the balance sheet, Rashi over here, quotes the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, meaning whenever you have an opportunity to either do a mitzvah or to do an avera, so just take out your balance sheet, meaning to do a mitzvah. What reward am I going to get for doing this mitzvah? So the answer, of course, is it's unlimited reward. You're going to get more olam haba. What if I don't do the mitzvah? Okay, so I'll temporarily won't be bothered. Okay, so once you look at the balance sheet, you're like, oh, okay, I'll do the mitzvah. Same thing with an avera, right? If you take out the balance sheet for every avera that you're about to do, okay, so what benefit am I going to get if I do this avera? So it'll be a temporary benefit. But what's on the other side of the balance sheet if I do the avera? Okay, so that's less olam haba. So once you take out your balance sheet, so you're never going to do an avera. Okay. Easier said than done, but it's just a great way to look at mitzvahs and averas. And encrypted in the pasuk, right? Kol hasam or chosav, you can read it. It's Hasham or Chosav from the word Shuma. Rabbi Yana Havalehu Tamid Dechol Yom Hava Makshilei B'Shabbos De Regila Lo Hava Makshilei. And Rabbi Yana, he had a student, and just a wonderful student, where generally speaking, he would ask him questions. Shabbos De Regal, where everybody was there, and now the Rebbe was saying Shir, and he knew that Rebbe wasn't able to answer all of his questions. And if he asked his Rebbe in a public setting like that, he runs the risk of embarrassing his Rebbe. Okay, so he used what's called a little bit of discipline and a little bit of common sense and a little bit of self-control so that on the Shabbos Deragel, so he wouldn't ask the question so that his Rebbe would not be embarrassed publicly. So Kari Aleh, and as far as his Rebbe is concerned, as we turn to the top of the Amud Beis, V'sam Derech Erena B'yesh Elokim, and again, the same idea, that what he did is he did a Shuma. In other words, he gauged, he considered, and then now is not the best time to ask him a question because I run the risk of embarrassing him, and I would not want to do that. Tanu Rabbanan. Okay, we're going to do a little bit more for today. We're on the top of Hamad Beis, and the Gemara quotes a brisa in Mitzanin Lo Al Kazayis Al Ameis Velo Al Etzem Kisaora. Okay, in terms of making a marker. So basically, the whole point of making a marker is so that people does not walk over the mace. Okay, just a brief introduction over here. People do not walk over the mace, so we're talking about Tumas Ohel. Tumas Ohel is can be manifested in a number of ways. One is that if I'm sharing a roof with human remains, so that means to say that the roof is both over me and over the human remains, even though I'm not directly over the human remains and it is not directly over me. Nevertheless, that roof is going to be a conductor. We all know this. This is what's called Tumas Ohel. Good. And so that if we're sharing a roof, so then I will become Tame. There's also being Ma'ahil, which means that if I'm directly over the mace, so I'm now going to become Tame, meaning the Tumas mace is going to be Ola. It's just simply going to go up. And if I walk directly over it, I'm going to become Tame. Okay, so that's Tumas Ohel. We also know, just as a crash course in Tumas Ohel, we also know that Tumas Ohel is not from any human remains, but you need specific human remains. So, what if from human remains is going to give off Tumas Ohel? So, kezayis min hameis. So, if you have a kezayis, which is a certain volume, it's about 40 grams approximately. So, if you have a kezayis of mace, so in other words, then by mace we mean flesh. So, if you have a kezayis of flesh of that human remains, so that's going to give off Tumas Ohel. Anything less than that is not going to give off Tumas Ohel. Now, it's still going to give off Tumas Maga Masa. If you touch it or carry it, you're going to become Tame, but it's no longer going to be giving off Tumas Ohel. It will not conduct the Tumah via Ohel. Bones. So what's the story with bones? So bones are only going to give off Tumas Ohel if you either have what's called Rov Binyan or Rov Minyan. Now, Rov Minyan, that's easy. There are 248 bones. I understand that our counting of the bones may not be this exact same the way they counted it, but doesn't matter. They count the bones, they got to the number 248. So you have the majority of that. What's the majority? 125. So if you have the majority of one, presumably it's one person. So if you have the majority of his bones, so even though it's not, whatever, even if they're tiny little bones, right, from limbs and digits, but if you have 125, that's going to give off Tumas Ohel. Anything less than 125 is not going to give off Tumas Ohel. Again, Maga and Masa it will give off Tumah, but not Ohel. Also, Rov Binyan. Rov Binyan is, let's say, the femur, where it represents a significant amount of the height of the person. So that's going to give off Tumas Ohel. So either Rov Minyan or Rov Binyan. Okay? Good.
Rov HaKav also.
Rov HaKav is another. Correct. That's very good. That's very specific. It decomposed, but with unadulterated. Right. Unadulterated decomposition. Right, good. Very good. Okay, so with all that stated, so now the Bryce is going to tell us, so, and the whole purpose of the marker, meaning you're not going to touch it. Meaning if you see it, you're not going to touch it. The whole point of the marker is that you don't walk over it. Meaning the markers are there to prevent Tumas Ohel. Now with that stated, okay, now we can go forward. So, Tana Rabbanan, Eimet Zayin Lo Al Kezayis Min Hameis V'Lo Al Etzem Kisaora. So you don't need to make it see an over kezayis min hameis. The opening line of the brisa, such a head scratcher. Right? If you have a kezayis min hameis, you don't have to mark that off. What are you talking about? Of course you have to mark that off. Meaning, what that opening line of the brisa, once I gave you the preamble, once I gave you the intro, you realize you read that beginning of the brisa, it can't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Okay, you know the Gemara is going to ask the question. Okay, fine. So we'll wait just a moment. And if it's etzem kisara, and if it's just a bone chip, so even though it gives off Tumas Maga and Tumas Masa, but nevertheless, it's not going to give off Tumas Ohel, you don't have to mark that off. And for that matter, nothing that's, if it's not going to be Matame Ba'ol, you don't have to mark it off. So you do make it Tzion on the Shedra V'Gugolos, that's the skull and the vertebrae. Rov Binyan, we already described. Vein Mitzayimim Al Havados. Now, if it's vada, you don't have to make it tzion. Meaning, if it's clear and unequivocal, it's unambiguous that that's a cemetery, so then you don't have to make it tzion. The whole purpose of making it tzion is to inform the public. If the public already know, so then you're good. How does the public already know? Well, let's say it has a headstone. Let's say it's got a fence around it already. Whatever the case is. Ava mitzayin al asfekos. But if it's ambiguous, so then you do make it tzion. Now, ve'ilan asfekos, what does that mean? It's ambiguous. Chachos apraos, ubeis apraos. So three different examples, which quite frankly, I'll discuss in more detail tomorrow, as we're going to go back and discuss this in more detail tomorrow. Okay, good. Ve'ein ma'amidin siyon b'makum tumah. Shalom lahafzid ha-saharos. Now, where do I make the mark? Meaning, the Gemara over here now, basically, it's an inbounds versus out-of-bounds discussion. Okay? So where exactly, yeah, I know. I also like the sports reference. It's not, you know, not perfectly appropriate right now, but I like it as well. Okay, so where's the inbounds and where's the out-of-bounds? Where do I actually make the mark? In other words, so we're dropping like, right, we're dropping the line, like, you know, they make from home plate to first base. So they're dropping a line in Hebrew it's called Sid. In English, I don't even know what it's called. It doesn't matter. Right, okay, whatever. Or whatever. So whatever the material is, or they're dropping in order to make the mark. So now, where exactly do you make it? So I'll tell you where not to make it. Meaning, don't make it directly over the mace. Because once somebody steps on the line, it's too late. So what you want is that when somebody puts his foot down on the line, he's not going to be tummy. So we want the line to be out of bounds. Again, if you like the analogy. On the other hand, don't make it directly outside the lines. Meaning you're going to make the mark outside of the mace, but that's it. Directly outside the mace. Because what happens now if you make it too wide, what you're going to do now is you're encroaching. Now, in other words, you're taking away from Eretz Yisrael. So even though we're talking, what are we talking about over here? A foot, whatever the case is. So you want to make the lines outside the mace, but directly outside the mace. Okay. Now, we'll just do this next part of the Gemara, and then we will conclude for today. The opening line of that brisa. When I'm going to make a marker, I only make it over something which gives off tumas ohel. And so there's no need to make a marker around kezais min hamace, to which the Gemara loses its mind. What? What are you talking about? So the Gemara says, kezais min hamace and metame ba'ol v'atanan. Elu shemetame ba'ol kezais min hamace. Right? Opening of ohel. It's not the opening perek, but the opening, meaning it's the second beginning of the second perek, where there it says, unequivocally, clearly, ground rules of tumas ohel. And that is that if you have kezais min hamace, it gives off tumas ohel. So how come our brisa says that when you have kezais min hamace, you don't need to make a marker around it? What's going on over here? So Amra Papa hachbe kezais mitzum sam askinan. So Rapapa gives an ukimta in the brisa. You have to say something in the brisa. Rapapa says that we're talking about it's a kezais mitzum sam. It is exactly one kezais of mace, and therefore what? He goes on to explain the sof mechzar chaser. So consider the following. If it's right now exactly a kezai, so we know it's going to continue to shrivel. In other words, it's going to decompose, dehydrate, and it's going to continue to shrivel. Its state right now of giving off tumas mace is really temporary. Okay, so here's the balance sheet. Second time today we're talking about a balance sheet, but here's the balance sheet. I'd rather consider the long term than the short term. Short term right now, if we mark it off, so then everyone's going to think that's going to give off tumas ohel, which it's true. It will give off tumas ohel right now. But how long are we talking about right now? A day, 2 days? Meaning right now it's mitzum sam. It's exactly at the point of kezias. So in short order, in short time, it's going to reduce and it's no longer going to give off tumas ohel. So better not to mark it off. In the short term, you're going to be metame, and you're going to have to burn truma as a result of it. I'm not really sure how, but people know that it's there. Okay, maybe it's above ground, maybe it's not below ground. But the point is that, yes, in the short term, you're going to create truma, but I'd rather that than rather the long term, because the long term, if what happens, we're going to mark it off. We're going to keep marking it off, and after a couple of days, there's simply no need to mark it, because it's going to dehydrate and decompose to less than a kezias, and at that point in time, simply no need. No need now to mark it off because it's not going to give off tumas ohel. So I'd
truma for nothing.
Right. And now you're going to be burning truma for no reason. And so therefore I'd rather have the long term gain rather than the short term gain. Okay, Adkan. We'll stop over here tomorrow. The Eli and the Sfekos we'll deal tomorrow with the Bryce and what exactly are the cases of Sfekos. Okay. That's our starting point for Mir Tzashem for tomorrow. Let's quickly recap, let's review. Number one, you're not allowed to dig a canal during the Shemitah year. So digging a canal during the Shemitah year, what is the concern? What's the consideration? The Amoraim gave a couple of suggestions. During Chol HaMoed, we know exactly what the issue is. It's too much tircha. You're not allowed to do that in Chol HaMoed. But on Shvius, what's the issue? So the Gemara gave a couple of suggestions. One, possibly Mar Zayin. The other possibility is that the embankment that I'm making now, I'm taking the dirt and putting on the embankment. That's a concern. And the Gemara went back and forth on this issue. Mind you, by the way, that was just an explanation of Rav Elazar ben Azariah in our Mishnah. The Chachamim say that you are, in fact, allowed to make a canal during the Shemitah year, but the Gemara spent time going over the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Okay, repairing a canal that was there, but it just got stuffed up a little bit. So you're allowed to make repairs to a canal. So what are the limits of the repairs to the canals that one is allowed to make? So the Gemara says that it was 6 tefachim, it now got stuffed up to 1 tefach, and I want to bring it down to 6 tefachim. That you're allowed to do. And then the Gemara had a series of questions of various other scenarios that are similar in ratio, but different numbers. And the considerations and concerns of Tircha Yaseira, good. Then Sarchei Rabim. This takes us to the top of Hamad Aleph. The Gemara's discussion regarding Sarchei Rabim. So in terms of public needs, so are there now going to be limits because now this is a water source for the public? So Rav Yochanan and the Gemara's conclusion is that you're allowed to even do Chafira. You can even dig it up if it's Sarchei Rabim. That brings us all the way back down to Hayamud Aleph towards the bottom, making a marker around the grave. First of all, what's the source that you have to make a marker around the grave? The Gemara gave a whole complement of sources based on Psukim and Yecheskel, even darshaning Psukim in the Torah. No Pasuk Befer says that you're going to make a marker around the grave, with notable exception to Pasuk in Yecheskel, but various Psukim around Tanakh that are meramis to this very idea. Gemara was bothered with a very fundamental question. How can I have a Din D'Oraisa, which isn't recorded until Sefer Yecheskel? The Gemara says, shouldn't bother you. Meaning it's not unprecedented. We had that by a Kohen who is an Ara. A parenthetic note, by the way, not even parenthetic, but I didn't mention it when we did the Daf today. Rashi says, why is he an Ara? Why is he uncircumcised? Because his brothers died Machmas Mila. Okay, where even though he's an Onis, it is totally not his fault that he's an Ara. Nevertheless, such a Kohen cannot do the Avoda. Okay, and finally, we conclude today on Hayam and Beis with a Brisa. We're still discussing the Brisa. The Brisa says that if it's Tumas Oel, so you got to mark it off. Where exactly do you mark it off? What do you need to mark off? So that's what the Brisa discussed. And right now we just dealt with the first line of the Brisa, that if you have Kezayis Men Ameis, so that you don't mark off. And the Gemara said, what do you mean you don't mark it off? Of course you mark it off. It's a Kezayis. So Rav Papa gives an answer, and that is that the Brisa is talking about where it's Mitzum Tzam. We'll stop over here.